Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I am Father Cedric Pazenia. I am so glad that you tuned into the program. I am proclaiming a series called What Really Matters. And I've been talking about prayer, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the judgment, the cross, things that really matter in our faith. And one of the things that I hear, one of the realities that I don't hear proclaimed very often has to do with evil. That evil is real and it matters because evil comes against us. The Bible calls the devil the evil one. Let me talk a little bit about this. I'll share with you from the letter of James. And this is James chapter 4. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. All throughout the scriptures, the Bible gives reference to the devil right from the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, all through the middle of the Bible, all the way to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. One of my favorite verses, verse 10 of chapter 20, Revelation 20:10. Finally, our adversary, the enemy, the evil one, you know, the one who has caused all the misery in the world, the one who is really the first cause of death, of murders, of human trafficking, of abortion, of wars, of the Holocaust. It's not God who caused these things. God didn't originally plan on any of this. God originally planned on us being in a garden, in Eden, in a place that was pleasurable and comfortable, where we would enjoy life forever and ever with God. But in order to give us free will, he allowed the devil to tempt us, and we fell. The devil, and I want to make this clear, the devil, evil, our enemy, our adversary, is very real, and he comes against us in many different ways. His number one strategy is to steal our soul. He wants to bring us away from God. He's a fallen angel. He wants us to fall too. We're already a fallen race, that happened, but he wants us to fall even farther and to be cut off from God. His number one strategy is to make us fall from God and lose our soul. And if he can't get your soul, his number two strategy is he's going to try to make your life miserable. He will try to torment you, oppress you, come against you, make life hard, and that's his big strategies. That's clear from the scriptures. We can see that. So I want to begin by saying, because this program is all about, and this series is all about, what's really important, what really matters. And I have to include this part about evil because most times it's really not talked about. We hear scriptures about the devil and about Satan and in various places. For example, in Lent, Jesus goes into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And we think, oh, isn't that a great story and everything? But the bottom line is, that is a symbol of what we go through in our life. We are all tempted too. We are all tested. Evil comes against us too. So the scriptures are trying to teach us that we are in this cataclysmic battle between good and evil. And the way we choose our decisions in life, and that's one of the programs that I had, that your choices matter, that our choices determine who we are going to align ourselves with. So be very careful, because God is trying to allure us and woo us and call us to himself, but so is the evil one. The evil one is trying to tempt us away from God. He's trying to make our life miserable. He's trying to do anything and everything he can to draw us away from God, because he's a fallen angel. His destiny is eternal death in the lake of fire, and he's trying to take as many of us as he can with him. So please be careful. And that's why it says, resist the devil, because he'll come against you every day. But our culture kind of gives us a warped idea of what the devil is. You know, one of the strategies of evil is to try to make you think that he doesn't exist. And maybe if you can do a tongue-in-cheek thing about the devil, maybe most people will think, oh, he's just a Halloween character with a pitchfork and a red tail. That's the way cartoons are. Maybe you've seen in a cartoon, there's an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. The angel whispers good, the devil whispers bad things. So we all think, oh, that's just a fable. It's just a fairy tale. Those are just cartoons. Then there's sitcoms. I remember growing up, there was a man named Flip Wilson, and he would always jokingly say, the devil made me do it. And I remember that also there were movies growing up. One of the movies was called The Exorcist. And I think this kind of shocked our culture, because this movie was pretty graphic and pretty grotesque about what evil is and what evil can do. It possessed this girl, Linda Blair, and did things that were very offensive and very strange. I think we were all kind of shocked by that movie, The Exorcist. There's been many movies after that, but nothing as shocking as that one was. And I've had a number of people think, am I possessed? Because of what happened in that movie. Other people think that they're possessed because they have evil thoughts or things that are hard in their life, and they think they're possessed by the devil. And I want to assure you, most of you, probably all of you that are watching my program, that you're not possessed. You may be oppressed, like we all are, because evil comes against us. But again, you know, the devil is really real. We have exorcists in our church, Catholic priests who exorcise the devil from people. But, you know, those are rare and extreme cases, so don't be afraid. One of the tactics of the devil is to try to make you afraid. You're not possessed, but you are oppressed. I'm oppressed, you're oppressed, we all are oppressed by the evil one. He comes against us. So it's been in the movies, been in cartoons, been in sitcoms. I just went to a play recently. It was by C.S. Lewis. It was called The Screwtape Letters. It's based on a book, C.S. Lewis's book. And it has to do with a head demon. And he had an apprentice named Wormwood, and he was trying to train Wormwood about how to tempt people and how to bring them away from God. One of his tactics was confusion and distraction and materialism and lust and arguments. And he tried everything he could to draw people away from God. But, you know, sometimes it worked, most of the times it didn't. So it was in a play form. And then, of course, music. And I wanted to share with you, growing up in the 70s, I remember there was a rock group named Van Halen that sang that song, Running with the Devil. And they would sing over and over again. And then most of you know the song by the Rolling Stones. It was called Sympathy for the Devil. And Mick Jagger would always sing, what's puzzling you, what's confusing you is just the nature of my game. And after the wars and the Holocaust and the abortions and the human trafficking and the murders and the deaths that are occurring, the devil will get no sympathy from me. There is no sympathy for the devil. So I've done a lot of exploring about this in my own life, because I know that God is good all the time, and God loves me, and he wants me to come to eternal life, and he's been for me and helping me. But I also know that, and I think you've probably experienced too, this also, that there was someone who hates me. Why is there such evil in the world? Why doesn't God stop it? That's called the problem of evil in theology. So I've seen a play or two about this in a movie, and one of them was called God in the Dock. And it was a movie that showed various people in a courtroom setting putting God on trial because of what was going on in their lives and because of what was going on in the world. And a lot of people use the evil that's going on in the world as an excuse to turn away from God. For example, the sexual abuse crisis that's happening in the world today with priesthood and bishops and the various things that are going on. And it very much is a scandal. It's a very evil thing. And so people have used that as an excuse to leave the church. I think what's happening is evil is trying to infiltrate the church and destroy it from within and call people and cause people to leave the church and to fall away. Remember what I said. His number one thing is he wants to steal your soul. And number two is that he wants to make your life miserable. And I can tell you, if you fall away from the church, you fall away from God, your life will be miserable. So I was watching this movie and it showed a different bunch of different people in a courtroom setting. One man had lost his wife to cancer and he was blaming God. Another talked about starving children, they were blaming God. Another talked about his mentally ill wife and a daughter who had become a prostitute, and they were questioning who is responsible for this. And then the program, as it continued, kind of let God off the hook and suggested that it's because of our free will that evil is occurring in the world. And I like that because I'm not letting the devil off the hook here, but I do want to say that yes, because of free will, and God gave us that gift of free will because he didn't want to create puppets. He wanted us to make a choice toward God, and he uses the devil, he allows the devil to tempt us so that that choice can be verified. So a lot of the evil that we have in the world is because of free will, because people choose it. I just listed one of the examples, the sexual abuse crisis going on in the church. You can't blame that totally on evil. People with a free will have chosen to do that. People that commit abortions have chosen to do that. The Holocaust, the wars, the drug trafficking, the human trafficking, prostitution. Now, don't get me wrong. Evil is involved. The evil one is tempting people. He's involved. He's suggesting things. He's trying to lure people into these different things. But the bottom line is human beings have free will. So the result of the evil in the world, part of the result of the evil in the world, is by our own free will. And take, for example, the hurricanes and the tidal waves and the tornadoes and the hard weather that we've been having, now the global warming and climate change and things like that. That is directly a result of the fall of humanity from God. Creation itself fell with humanity when we fell from God. And I hope you understand that. The cataclysmic problems that we're having in the world today cannot be directly attributable to God. It is because of our fall from God. God is our Redeemer. God is the one who will one day redeem not only us, but creation itself. This comes right from Romans chapter 8, when creation itself will be freed from its bondage to decay, as Paul writes, to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. So creation and we are very connected. And that's why when we pollute and when we harm our environment, actually we are sinning, because we're hurting the generations to come. We're hurting the environment that God gave us. But my point in this, as I was saying, is that we have free will. And evil in the world is directly attributable to our sinfulness. And we have to understand that. Even creation itself, earthquakes, hurricanes, ferocious fires, the stuff that's going on in the universe. We are a fallen universe, but one day, God is going to create it all new. But I saw another movie on PBS, and God once again was on trial. And this one wasn't so much about free will. It was about the Jews who were being held in a Nazi concentration camp, and they were in for extermination. And so they got together and they held God on trial. And as they talked about the injustice of being held in this Nazi concentration camp and being taken arbitrarily out for extermination, they found God guilty of breaking the covenant and abandoning his chosen people. And that was such a hard movie to watch, because rationally we think, why didn't God stop that atrocity of the Holocaust? And we don't know all the answers to this, and one day we will, when finally God comes and sets the world aright. But I can tell you this, it wasn't God who did the Holocaust. We shouldn't be pointing the finger at God. We need to be pointing at where it belongs, at the evil one. The evil one is the direct cause of the fall of humanity, the direct cause of the evil in the world. I think about the famines that are going on and the immigration problem, the earthquakes, as I said, all the various problems with abortion and murder and stealing and drugs. And think about the mess that our world is in. And, you know, we shouldn't just be angry at the politicians and certainly not be angry at God. We need to point the finger where it belongs. That's at the evil one. He's the enemy. We're in this cataclysmic battle between good and evil, and he's the direct cause of everything that is awful. So please try to understand that. I'm trying to unpack that for you in this program. One of the ways that, and this is right from the scriptures, that evil comes against us is by people. Remember, and this is one of his tactics, remember what happened when Judas betrayed Jesus, right? At that Last Supper, it said that Satan entered into Judas, and then he went and betrayed him. And it was a horrible betrayal of the Son of the living God. How did Satan enter into Judas? We don't know. Maybe it was in his thoughts, his imagination, disappointment, discouragement, whatever it was. But then even one of the closest disciples to Jesus, Peter, when Jesus was talking about the fact that he had to go to the cross, Peter said, God forbid that that should ever happen to you. And remember what Jesus said to him. This is right after Peter had confessed him as the Messiah, the Son of God. Right after that happened, Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Satan was working through Peter to try to discourage Jesus from doing God's plan. So my point is that evil works through people. And I think we all know that. We've all had neighbors that have been evil toward us, or people that have come against us, or maybe spouses that you've had a divorce from, places where you've worked, bosses that have been harsh and hard and unjust toward you. It doesn't mean that they're possessed by Satan, but Satan works through these people. I remember when I was in the seminary, I had a priest who was my formation director, crucial in my walk toward priesthood, who verbally abused me, and he did it a number of times. I finally confronted him about it, and he blew up and tried to get me to leave the seminary. And as I think back at it, what it was it wasn't so much him, it was evil working through him to try to stop me before this whole thing got started. I went on a retreat, and the retreat that I went to was the University of Steubenville. It's a Franciscan university, and very charismatic, very in touch with the scriptures and what really matters. And so I got some clarity on that retreat, deep clarity. While on retreat, there was about 1,000 people on retreat, seminarians, deacons, priests, under the tent. We would worship and praise God and pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, during the retreat, there was a cardinal there from Belgium. His name was Cardinal Daniels, one of the top officials in the church, if you will. And he gathered us seminarians. There was only about 30 seminarians there going on that retreat at the time. And he gathered us there, and he gathered us around the table, and this is what he said. He says, young men, I reverence your call to the priesthood, but he says, I have to let you know, Satan's going to be out to get you. And I thought to myself, well, did he just say that? Because at that time, you know, I was going to the seminary, but they don't teach you about Satan in the seminary. And he said, that's right, young men, Satan's going to be out to get you. And he said, The way that he's going to try to get you isn't so much by money, and it's not so much by women. The way he's going to try to get you is by discouragement. And it was just like, boom, like a boxing glove punched me right in the face. Because remember, I had just been verbally abused by that priest, and I was thinking of leaving. I was so discouraged because I thought God had called me to priesthood, and here's my own formation director, a Catholic priest, coming against me. And I thought, maybe I wasn't called to priesthood. And then I came to realize on that retreat that discouragement was one of the tactics and strategies of the devil. Fear, discouragement, depression. He tries to pull you down. And I realized that I was in a spiritual battle. It wasn't just me and my thoughts and my imaginations. I was in this cataclysmic battle between good and evil, and I was stepping forward to serve God as a Catholic priest and reach out to people. So the devil wasn't rolling out a red carpet for me to make that happen. He was doing everything and anything he could do to come against me. He does the same thing in your life, no matter what your vocation is, whether it's a parent raising children. That's a noble, beautiful vocation. Well, he's going to make it hard for you. Remember what I said? His number one thing is he's going to try to steal your soul. Number two, he will try to make you miserable. He will try to disrupt the family. And that's one thing I didn't state yet. Our families are a shambles. Our families are all being broken up. Divorce is over 50%. Contention, strife, that all comes from evil. Of course, we have free will. I've told you about that. But remember, God works through people, but evil works through people too. You must understand that. So, in all this mess, I love what it said in James. It said, here's your strategy. Read Ephesians 6, by the way, where it tells you to put on the armor of God, salvation, use the word of God. Remember Jesus in the desert, use the word of God to come against. I go like that because it's a sword. Speaking of swords, let's talk about James. It said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's the strategy that the scriptures give us. Number one, submit to God. Number two, then resist the devil in God's strength. I love the movies that have come out, the Star Wars movies. There's been about 12 of them. I think they're producing a 13th one now. And one of the Star Wars movies that I saw that I really enjoyed was called The Force Awakens. And in The Force Awakens, they changed the theme a little bit because it used to be Luke Skywalker, the Jedi Master, doing battle with Darth Vader. This time they took an ordinary girl named Rey, R-E-Y, a nobody, an ordinary person we can all identify with, and she became the center of attention. She gets into conflict, into battle with Darth Vader's grandson. So now here's this ordinary person, and we're all ordinary, doing battle now with Darth Vader's grandson, and she was just beginning to learn about the Force. And many of you are apprentices and novices when it comes to learning about the spiritual battle that you're in. That's why the scriptures are so important. You've got to be going to Ephesians 6 and other places where it teaches about our cataclysmic battle. So what she does, right in the middle of this battle, you know, there are lightsabers and everything, they're going on. Right before she's about to do battle one-on-one with him, with this evil force, she bows her head and communes with the Force and then does battle, and she's victorious. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He's a liar and a thief, but he's also a coward. You stand strong. Don't let him fluster you. Don't get all bent out of shape. Submit to God. God is your stronghold. God is your strength, and he will protect you. You aren't possessed. Don't worry about that. But we're all oppressed, and we're all in a spiritual battle. This really matters. And I hope you're understanding the truth of the scriptures. I want you to choose God, cling to God, and don't be afraid, because the one who lives in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God bless you as you do battle and as you submit to God. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.